BitTensor is the number one AI project in all of crypto and one of the hottest projects in the world. But the real value of BitTensor comes from the subnets, and that is where things get interesting.
Today, we have the founder of Sturdy, Sam Forman, which is one of the top BitTensor subnets, and he's going to reveal the inner workings of all things Sturdy and BitTensor.
Welcome to the BeanPod. This is your place for all things stocks and crypto. From beginner tips to expert picks, use this as fuel for your investing journey. Because when you're in the know, your money will grow.
This episode of the BeanPod is sponsored by BitGet.
BitGet is the most user-friendly and secure crypto trading platform for both beginners and experienced traders.
BitGet is the best place to not only trade Bitcoin and Ethereum, but also all the small cap gems that we discuss every day.
With 24/7 customer support, leveraged trading, and a wide array of other advanced features, BitGet sets itself apart from every other centralized exchange.
Through Beanstalk's official partnership with BitGet, you'll receive 15% off all trading fees when you sign up using the referral link in the description.
Views expressed by speakers on the BeanPod are solely their opinions. You should not treat any opinion expressed on the BeanPod as a specific inducement to make a particular investment or follow a specific strategy, but only as an expression of their opinion. This podcast is for informational purposes only.
Welcome to the BeanPod. This is Shane, aka the Jolly Green Investor.
And this is Josh, aka the Nifty Investor.
Today we have some insane BitTensor Alpha. We have Sam Forman, the founder of Sturdy, which is one of the top subnets in all of BitTensor. And he's here to join us.
Sam, welcome to the show.
Yeah, thank you much for having me. Great to be here.
Lovely. Okay, let's start high level here. And clearly AI is one of the hottest trends and is clearly shaping the future of blockchain technology. It's AI is changing the future of the world. And BitTensor is undoubtedly the number one hottest crypto project in the world, clearly. And we've been on it since the early days when it was trading around $38. So we're really excited to have somebody like you on the show. Coming from a founder working within the BitTensor ecosystem, maybe you could let us know what makes BitTensor itself so special.
Yeah, 100%. I think a lot of projects claim to be similar to BitTensor, but there aren't really any comparables. The way that other AI projects are structured is they'll have a bunch of miners on the subnet who are providing compute, and then maybe some kind of applications that are consuming that compute. And the team that develops the application sort of sits in the middle and sets rules for the incentive structure and how miners will be compensated. The issue with that is that it creates a centralization where you have some central team deciding, here's the incentive mechanism, here's how we're going to reward miners. You tend to see cases where there's insider dealing, where a lot of times the team will be the ones providing compute and sort of giving themselves points or rewards as a result. The way BitTensor works is totally different. Instead of having a single network where the team sets the rules, what they've done is create an incentive framework where anyone can come in and build a subnetwork or subnet. And so this lets us as a team like Sturdy come in and actually develop our own subnet, write the rules, have miners that can come and sort of solve the problem we want them to solve, validators that score them and fit our individual use case. And the great thing is that there's over 50 other people doing exactly this, and anyone who stakes enough tau can do it. So rather than having this kind of centralized network where a single team gets to determine the incentive structure and the framework, what the BitTensor and the OpenTensor Foundation has done is lay out the framework, lay out sort of the high-level incentive structure, and then leave it for other teams to build out their own subnets for individual applications.
Yeah, it's really interesting. I mean, once we discovered BitTensor, we kind of went down this whole BitTensor rabbit hole, which I feel like is similar to what everyone does when they discover it. Because it's, as you said, it's such a unique project and there's no second best. There is no duplicate of BitTensor. So as a BitTensor subnet, you know, it seems like you're working in a really interesting space. You have access to this proprietary BitTensor algorithm, which is growing in conjunction with all these other subnets and all the discoveries in machine learning. You have these incentives, and then you also have this rabid BitTensor community, which has to be one of the best in all of crypto. So do you think Sturdy would be where it is today without BitTensor? And what are some of the, you know, kind of things that you've benefited from?
Yeah, absolutely. I think I can start by saying how Sturdy integrates BitTensor. We launched V2 of the Sturdy protocol earlier this year. And the way V2 is structured is it includes the use of these yield optimizing aggregators. So an aggregator is sort of like a DeFi vault that takes in assets and distributes it across a bunch of pools. So you could have, for example, an aggregator for USDC on Ethereum where users can come in, deposit USDC, And then maybe that USDC is distributed across five different lending pools. A question that we want to solve is, let's say you have $10 million in this aggregator. How do you distribute these assets across a bunch of different pools in a way that optimizes yield so that users get the best rates possible? And what we discovered is that most projects are actually doing this manually. A lot of times we'll have a bunch of contributors in a multi-sig that are kind of eyeballing rates and making discretionary choices about where to allocate this capital. I think there's a couple of downsides to this approach. The first is you tend to get suboptimal yields. You have human beings who are a lot of times doing guesswork and aren't asset managers by background. Usually they're developers. And so users don't get the best rates. The second is you have centralization. Unfortunately, one thing that you see all too often in DeFi are rugs, where people will put assets in a pool and the pool will rug and all of a sudden users are out of money. And so when you have a centralized group of people, that can unfortunately become more likely. What we've built on top of BitTensor is a subnet called Subnet 10 or Kappa, where anyone can come and create allocations for our aggregators. So the flow of information is that our aggregators will take in a bunch of data about the pools that it can deposit to. That data is transmitted to miners within our BitTensor subnet. Those miners each have their own custom algorithms that they use to process that data and return an allocation. So the allocation might be put $4 million in this pool, $2 million in this pool, and so on. Those allocations are then received by miners, or excuse me, by validators who rank them from best to worst using this custom scoring that we've developed. And then finally, the best allocation, the one that scores the highest and will produce the greatest yields, goes back to the application, which uses it to rebalance funds.
Right. Interesting. Yeah. It's all about making people more money. And you, when you're inside the BitTensor ecosystem, clearly you're doing that as the leading DeFi protocol on BitTensor. Mm. So is it just the centralization of power, the manual processes that separates Sturdy from other DeFi protocols, or is there something else there?
Yeah, I think at the protocol level itself, there's a couple of other things we do that are really interesting. The first is that all of our pools are isolated. So rather than having a process where governance has to vote to onboard new assets, instead, anyone can deploy a pool permissionlessly. So this could be a pool for, let's say, an LRT as collateral with ETH for lending, or maybe a Bitcoin staking derivative as collateral and BTC for lending. This makes it so that anyone can contribute permissionlessly, spin up pools that they want to see that users will enjoy. The issue with that approach that other teams have taken is that it creates liquidity fragmentation. So if you have 10 different ETH pools that users can deposit to, it tends to get confusing and kind of challenging to choose which ones a user wants to take advantage of and which they don't. As a result, they might have to deposit to five different pools, rebalance frequently to optimize yields, five different withdrawal transactions. And if you're doing this on mainnet, this is a lot of money that you're wasting in gas, in addition to the time, of course. And so that's exactly why we introduced aggregators in V2, is to solve this problem, create a single streamlined way for users to deposit to multiple isolated lending pools at once. And then on top of that, we built for this optimization framework with BitTensor in order to ensure that the aggregators are decentralized and providing users with the best yields that are possible.
Right. So just going back to one thing you said earlier about kind of taking the human element out of, all these DeFi equations. And I just want to go, DeFi and AI and the intersection, it can be a little bit confusing, especially for some people that aren't like super into all this stuff, kind of like we are every day. But what I want to know from your perspective, maybe a high level think is, where do AI and DeFi intersect? And are there anything, what machine learning is happening in the background to make this intersection of AI and DeFi so successful and lucrative?
Yeah, I think there are a couple of different angles here. The one that we found the most promising is in yield optimization. So you can imagine if you have, 10 or 100 different pools that you can distribute assets among, each of them is going to have their own interest rate curves, their own histories of performance, their own risk levels, their own liquidity. For a lot of strategies, if you put a lot of money in it, the rate will drop a lot. And so if you have a human being that's trying to sort this all out, it's going to be really challenging. They're going to make mistakes, and those mistakes can be costly for users. So this is an area where AI and machine learning can play a role, because you can have algorithms that process all this data, years and years of historical data, incorporate risk, incorporate liquidity, and output an optimal algorithm. And an optimal allocation for each aggregator. What BitTensor takes to another level is, rather than just having one algorithm, is that anyone who's a miner on our subnet creates their own algorithm. And so now you're sort of doing this crowdsourced decentralized AI rather than centralized AI that you would get if you were just running a model with OpenAI or a kind of traditional Web2 company like that.
Very interesting. Yeah. So one of the biggest things, because Shane and I have been following BitTensor now for almost 2 years, and what got us hyped up was when the subnets came online, and it was like, okay, BitTensor is really going to start taking off here. And then when you start to come across all these subnets like yours, which are really fascinating and doing wonders for the project itself. The biggest news lately is EVM compatibility. Maybe you could shed some light on when that EVM compatibility goes live and what sort of impact will that have on Sturdy?
Yeah, so I'm really excited about bringing EVM compatibility to BitTensor. I think it's going to be great. This unlock is going to be that any smart contract from EVM will be able to be deployed on BitTensor. So you can imagine DEXs, lending protocols. And this sort of brings me to your next point, which is what does it mean for Sturdy? Well, one thing it means is that we'll be able to deploy lending markets on the BitTensor network. This means rather than having to bridge your TAO to Ethereum and then have to trust that bridge and then trust these third-party protocols, you'll just be able to use Sturdy to borrow against your TAO or lend your TAO and earn interest. So I think you'll see an explosion in applications and use cases built on top of the BitTensor network. And of course, we want to be there particularly for lending, particularly for yield aggregation. Because right now, most of what we do is on Ethereum and EVM. And so to be able to bring that to the BitTensor network natively, I think is super exciting and going to bring a lot of value for users.
Yeah, that's super exciting. I mean, we've been following it for a while, and this seems to be another one of those moments where so many more people can learn about BitTensor and potentially some exponential growth moving forward. Now, speaking of exponential growth, I mean, we see that Sturdy has allocated north of $70 million in user assets since August. That's pretty impressive in a short period of time. So what I want to know, what does this mean exactly to the listeners out there? What do you attribute this growth to? And do you have any targets that you can say for number of assets allocated in the next like 6 months to a year?
Yeah, 100%. It's been super exciting to see. I think we actually just hit 80 million today. And so the growth has been crazy, particularly over the last 2 months. A lot of users have been really excited to see an application using BitTensor in the wild. There's a lot of really great subnets, don't get me wrong. There's over 50 of them now. And a lot of them are doing this really powerful cutting edge machine learning work. But for some users, it might be kind of confusing to see what exactly is the output of all of this, right? How can I take advantage of this today? And I think the fact that we're sort of able to step in and show a really concrete application that anyone can use that is accessible to crypto native users, has gotten people really thrilled. Our goal has been to hit 100 million by the end of the calendar year. I think we're certainly going to do that. So that's great. I think longer term, what we want is for every single application that has some sort of yield optimization component to be tapping into the subnet. So that could be on any chain, whether that's EVM, Solana, or elsewhere. That's one of our big goals. The other one is sort of, as I alluded to earlier, once EVM is on BitTensor, actually putting all of our infrastructure from Ethereum on the network and being able to use the outputs from the subnet on the BitTensor chain, I think will be really cool. I think we'll probably be the only application, at least initially, that has this kind of subnet native chain interaction. So I'm really excited about that. And I think it will be something that users are eager to take advantage of.
Extremely exciting. And that's an excellent point and segue into our next question, how users can take advantage of it. I can only imagine being just an everyday retail investor watching this show right now and be like, what the heck are these aggregators, these silos, EVM compatibility, it's a tongue twister. So I'm on the website right now. And under the lender borrower section, I see unleash the full power of Sturdy V2 with newly launched silos and aggregators. What exactly does that mean? And how can people like Jolly and myself or the everyday retail investor get involved? What does this mean? How can I use it?
Yeah, exactly. So silos are the isolated lending pools I described earlier. You can either lend to a silo if you want to earn interest, or you can borrow from one. And to borrow from a silo, you deposit collateral and then take out a loan against it, sort of like you would on a protocol like Aave or Compound. That might be a use case if you want to gain liquidity against one of your assets, like an LRT or a Bitcoin staking derivative, or maybe if you want leverage. That's one very common use case is users will borrow against these assets and redeposit it back into the protocol. I think the aggregator side is what I described and the part that the subnet plays a role in. where rather than having to deposit to a bunch of different silos individually for lending, you can just deposit to a single aggregator and the aggregator will distribute to all of these pools on the back end. I think this is a great option for users who maybe don't want to spend quite as much time or gas dealing with all the individual pools and would rather just have a single place that they can deposit to and earn yield from.
Interesting. Yeah, it certainly sounds like something that's going to get a lot of use as BitTensor grows, as the EVM compatibility comes into fruition. You know, DeFi has always been one of the backbones of crypto, and this whole DeFi AI thing I still think is very much in its infancy. So it's no wonder that according to BitTensor stats, Sturdy is somewhere in the top 10 subnets in terms of TAU emissions. Currently, at time of recording, somewhere around 140 per day. So can you give us a bit of insight into the emissions and how Sturdy is using them to incentivize miners and validators within your network?
Yeah, absolutely. So the breakdown is that it's split. Miners and validators earn about the same amount. Within the network, miners play the role of creating the allocation. So they're the ones who get this data from the subnet applications, or excuse me, from the aggregator applications, ingest it and produce the allocations. They're kind of doing the work there. On the other hand, you have validators who are scoring the work. So they're getting these allocations from miners, and it's their job to say which one is the best, right? Which one will create the highest yield? And they do so using this custom logic we've produced. So they both have very important roles. Miners are the ones doing the work, creating the applications. Validators are the one that are scoring the allocations and passing them back to the aggregators to ensure that they're getting the strongest yields possible.
Right. Yeah, very impressive. I mean, to be one of the top 10 BitTensor subnets that is generating those type of emissions, very powerful, especially as, you know, we anticipate TAU becoming one of the top three assets maybe in the crypto market. You know, it says a lot for those emissions, if you know what I mean. So clearly we're not the only ones who see value in Sturdy. You're backed by powerhouses such as Pantera, SoftBank, and Y Combinator. For those of you who are unfamiliar, Y Combinator has backed a lot of other big companies like Airbnb. Mm-hmm. Can you tell us a little bit about that relationship and the kind of value that they bring to the table?
Yeah, it's really been a pleasure working with everyone who's been involved from Sturdy. In their cases, it's been over 2 years now, actually. And you know, we've undergone a couple of different iterations at this point. When we first launched, we were on Phantom. This was way back in early 2022. Then we launched on Ethereum in June 2022. We launched Sturdy V2 in early 2024, and then our subnet just a few months after that. And so we've undergone a lot of different changes, a lot of evolution, and it's just been great to have folks that we can use as a resource that can help provide connections. And just, you know, generally provide feedback based on their experience in the space or just with startups more generally. So yeah, it's been invaluable, especially because we've evolved so much and, you know, we'll keep on, I'm sure, going through evolutions in the future.
For sure. It's always us. It's always nice for us to see, obviously, you know, we gravitate towards real teams with docs founders, with actual backing from, you know, real venture capitalists and companies like that. So not only is it nice to see, obviously, your face on the show today and read about your background, but also see all these legit, you know, venture capital and investment backing companies working with Sturdy or backing you. And it just, it brings a lot of, you know, credibility to the project, which I think we like, and we know our listeners like. Now, one of the common questions we do get about Sturdy, and we get this about any project we talk about, is about the tokenomics, you know, market cap, fully diluted valuation. So let's just clear up some speculation and maybe some confusion about what's going on with Sturdy. So the current market cap at time of recording is somewhere around 7 million. The fully diluted valuation is around 120 million, which indicates that there's a lot of tokens set to be released. There's a wallet on Etherscan that holds 93% of the supply. So can you tell us straight from the founder, what's going on in the background? What is the explanation for these tokenomics, market cap, fully diluted valuation, all this kind of stuff?
Yeah, for sure. And so this can also be found in writing in our docs at docs.sturdy.finance if you want to take a look after. But yeah, there's a treasury which composes about 62% of the total supply, and this is allocated by governance. So holders of the Sturdy token can vote and say what they want to do. So far, the main proposal that they've passed along these lines is for VE Sturdy, which will be launched relatively soon. And VE Sturdy will enable users to vote for where emissions will be allocated in the future. The wallet you mentioned is a combination of multiple parts of the tokenomics. So it includes both some investor tokens that are still vesting and also the treasury. What we're going to do pretty soon is break that out into separate wallets and make sure it's all enforced on chain. And this will make it way easier to track, so you don't really need to do any kind of guesswork about what's where, because I agree it is a little bit confusing as it currently stands, and we want everything to just be as transparent and straightforward as possible. So I would expect us to be making announcements sort of about that within the next couple of weeks. But yeah, in the meantime, you can always check out our docs too, but this will become more clear pretty soon.
Appreciate the transparency, Shane and I do. I'm sure our listeners do as well, and anybody who's holding the STRDY token. So there's a ton of growth here, like we've seen with the amount of money that has been allocated. You know, you have the backing of BitTensor, the EVM compatibility that's coming up. Let's finish off this episode and let's get us hyped. What can we expect from Sturdy moving forward? Are there any big catalysts in the pipeline that you can share? Let's get us hyped.
Yeah. So last week we announced an integration between our subnet, Morpho, and Gauntlet. And for the folks who don't know, Morpho is one of the largest DeFi protocols. They have over $2 billion in TVL. And they have a problem kind of similar to us, where some users faced a challenge when deciding between all of the pools on their protocol. And so what we're doing is we're launching an aggregator with them and with Gauntlet and their Aero product that will aggregate all of their USDC vaults. Or I think there are four or five largest USDC vaults, and put it in a single place so that users, rather than having to decide between them, can just deposit to the vault and earn, with SN10, our subnet, taking the role on the back end of managing those funds. So we're super excited about that. This will be our first third-party integration of many. Right now, the aggregators that SN10 controls are part of the Sturdy protocol, but it doesn't have to be that way, right? We can deploy aggregators that folks like Morpho and Gauntlet through their Aero product can take advantage of. So we're really excited about that. I think another big milestone stone coming up along these lines is the launch of a permissionless UI. Right now, if you want to create aggregators that are subnet controls, you need some developer experience, you need to deploy the smart contracts. And this is really challenging, right? You can't do this if you're a normal retail user. Our goal is to create a single UI where anyone over the course of 15 minutes can go and spin up an aggregator controlled by the subnet. So this will be really powerful. I mean, you can imagine with how quickly the crypto market moves, a lot of times there are ideas that development teams cannot put into place. And instead, users can come and sort of implement their own ideas and do it really quickly in an easy and accessible way. So I think you can look forward to that. And then I guess the last thing I would say is just everything that's going on in the BitTensor ecosystem intimately affects us, particularly the EVM compatibility we've talked about. I think that's going to unlock a really lot of cool possibilities that maybe even we haven't thought about, and that users will be able to implement through this UI that I mentioned and really spin up pools for Tau or Tau-related assets. So yeah, I'm really looking forward to that.
For sure. There's so many bullish catalysts for BitTensor, for Sturdy. I mean, I just saw the other day that an AI app powered by a BitTensor subnet reached the top five in consumer-facing apps in Germany. So we're starting to, we always talked about how BitTensor needs these consumer-facing apps to start really getting the word out, even though the word for BitTensor is getting out within the crypto community. So when you take into combination the fact of all the bullish things for BitTensor, the EVM compatibility, all the exponential growth we're experiencing from Sturdy, and then given all the catalysts and milestones that, Sam just outlined here, I think 2025 and beyond is going to be super exciting for BitTensor and Sturdy. And honestly, it's been a pleasure to have you on the show today, Sam. Thank you for joining us.
Yeah, thank you. I appreciate it.
Thanks a lot, Sam. Hey, make sure you guys all tune to the next episode.
That one is going to be a banger.
All views expressed by speakers on the Beanpod are solely their opinions. You should not treat any opinion expressed on the Beanpod as a specific inducement to make a particular investment or follow a specific strategy, but only as an expression of their opinion. This podcast is for informational purposes only.